Extraordinarily passionate about a lot of Jewish things. There it also, and not to the exclusion of, but I would say about Israel, all things Israel, AIPAC. You'll see him at the AIPAC conference with I don't even know what the right word is. A lot of people.
A lot of people from the synagogue, and a lot of teens go also.
A lot of teens, which I really credit you for, because I think that is the very best thing we could be doing for the next generation. Not necessarily AIPAC only, but engaging those teens. Mm-hmm. You might find him at Starbucks doing random good deeds for people in the community. And you've got a show. Is it a radio show?
Yeah, we have a radio show. A nationally syndicated radio show called The Rabbi and the Reverend. And it's in Chicago and Florida, West Virginia, Kentucky. Weird places, but it's getting out there. And it's on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. You can get it online and listen to it. There's a lot of podcasts. Just type in Rabbi and the Reverend, the Gab Network. That's the name of the company that runs it. It's on different stations.
And most recently?
What?
Who is the Reverend?
His Reverend name is Greg Dahl. He's a Presbyterian minister from Darien, and he's a good friend, and we've developed relationships over the year. So it's a weekly radio show that we do.
Okay, last commercial. Most recently, the author of a book called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? We did not have it available today.
Well, I brought a copy. It's actually being published the end of January, but
January.
It's available right now on Amazon, and it's coming out. I'm doing a lot of speaking. I'm doing speaking, actually, well, at Temple Shalom in a number of weeks for their lunch with Rabbi Mitch. I will be there third week of January.
They already know you're going.
I'm going to be there. So I will have books there, and I'll be talking about this book that just came out, actually.
Okay, so
there you go.
Enjoy.
Thanks for the intro.
Have a happy Hanukkah if I don't see you before then, because I'll be gone by the time you all leave. I mean, just for the afternoon, I'll be back. And,
goodbye.
Thank you very much for...
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that. So nice to see everybody. Happy early Hanukkah. I mean, happy early Hanukkah. Let's feel a little love. Thank you. Let's get a little energy going. I appreciate that. So does anyone know what the topic was for today?
Greek and something.
Okay, just making sure. Greeks, Jews, things like that.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is kind of dive a little deep in one of the aspects of Hanukkah that I think doesn't get as much play today from a historical standpoint, a little more from a Torah standpoint, modern standpoint. Before I do, I think what's important is to get your quick impressions of Hanukkah. Just going to go around. I say the word Hanukkah. What is kind of the image? If you have to explain to somebody in one or two words, Hanukkah, what comes to your head? What do we celebrate? What's it all about? What do you say? Hanukkah.
Lights.
Rededication. What else? What's the message of the holiday?
Miracles.
And a fight for freedom. But you can't say that to other people because they won't know what you're talking about. That's why other people say lights.
Yeah, freedom, lights, rededication.
Miracles.
Miracles, that's another good one.
Oil.
That is true. Oil. Okay.
Oil.
Antiochus.
Yeah, conquering Antiochus. Okay, he was the Greek ruler at the time.
Dreidels.
Latkes, that is true.
Happiness.
These are all great.
Hanukkah gifts.
If you talk to a kid, they'll say presents.
They'll say presents, that is true. There's a lot, of course, that's out there when it comes to a Hanukkah, and a lot of different ideas that people have in terms of the celebration itself. It's actually considered one of the most joyous holidays that we have. Is Hanukkah a biblical holiday?
No,
of course not. It is rabbinic. It's one of two rabbinic holidays. Just to get a little historical perspective, what came first, the chicken or the egg? No, what came first, Hanukkah or Purim? Historically, which holiday came first? No, Purim. You know, I made it easy for you, because if I say no, I know what your other option is. But, you know, it's very hard to talk about the holiday. Let's get the facts first, and then we'll talk about stuff. So, just to get a sense, I'm going to do a very quick panorama of Jewish history here. All right. God, how's that to start? Good?
Okay.
Creates Adam and Eve, all right? And what happens is, of course, Adam and Eve sin in the Garden of Eden. They are sent out of the Garden of Eden, and God, basically, after that point in time, God's mission is really to create a sense of the sparks of holiness within the world, divinity within the world. And what happens after Adam and Eve's period of time? They live for approximately 1,000 years. The world goes into a period of great chaos and great immorality. And that is symbolized by the generation of the what? The flood. Okay? And then God basically says to Noah, who's a righteous person, the world... What was that?
Build an ark,
and the world needs to be rebuilt because the world is filled with violence. The world is filled with Hamas. You heard of that word, Hamas?
Yeah.
Hamas is not only a modern word. It's in the Bible itself. It means violence. It means people not only thinking about others at all, it means it's all self-serving. And God says, I'm going to replenish the world, give a new vision to the world, and Noah comes out of the ark. And God gives Noah 7 Noahide laws. This is important. 7 Noahide laws. These are laws that are meant to develop a society of righteous justice and moral compassion, or moral righteousness and justice, to create a world where people respect each other, tolerate, build a civil society. Give me an example, by the way, of some of the Noahide laws.
Shall not murder.
Yeah, and don't murder is a good one. No idolatry, no illicit relationships, set up a court system.
No stealing.
No stealing. It's all about setting up...
Is that basically the Ten Commandments?
No, but not all. There's no commandment. The 7 Noahide laws do not have actually interesting... They don't have Shabbat. A non-Jew doesn't have to keep Shabbat. That's the Sabbath isn't in there. There's also... it's close, though. Honor your father and mother is not in there either.
That's right.
But basically, these 7 principles are there to set up a society of ethical monotheism. And then what happens? Close to 2,000 years after God has created the world, first he gave one commandment to Adam and Eve, said you can enjoy everything except for this one tree you can't eat. Right? And that was to connect. What was that?
And they screwed up.
And they messed that up. That's a nice way of putting it. Again, that's a whole other story. Then what happens? What's the next major period of time where people rebel against God? After Noah and the flood, there's something called the Tower of Babel. You heard about that?
Yeah.
And what did those individuals in that generation try to do?
They tried to build
a tower against God in heaven, and they basically, according to the Midrash, they built these skyscrapers, and it was more important for them that the bricks that they had built something, and they couldn't care less if people along the way just kind of fell off on the side. It was a society that was devoted to technological stuff without understanding humanity. And God mixes the languages up. And then God says the following. And this is where Hanukkah is going to come in soon. I'm laying the groundwork here. In the year 1948. In the year 1948, not in modern times, but in the year 1948 from creation. What year are we in right now? 5,777. Right, not for the creation of the world. The world could be billions and whatever years old, but for the creation of mankind. In the year 1948, a man emerges.
Abraham.
That's kind of one of the greatest ironies in history. That in 1948, in the Jewish calendar, is when Abraham is born. And Abraham realizes that there is somebody out there besides a god of the sun, a god of the moon. He actually rebels against his father. His father is an owner. Well, not only that, his father is an owner of a Fortune 500 company.
Right.
Yeah, it was a big company back then. It was called Terach & Sons. It was on the New York Stock Exchange. It was on the Babylonian Stock Exchange. And he rebelled against him. And God says to Abraham and Sarah, in order for this world to be filled with ethical monotheism and justice and righteousness, it's not just enough for me to give 7 laws to humanity. I have to identify a people who are going to be my ambassadors to the world, who will model a way of life that will bring about tikkun olam, a better world, and will be able to stay focused on this mission. And that nation, which Isaiah says is meant to be an or lagoyim, a light unto the nations, is what? That's us, the Jewish people. And God gave Abraham and Sarah this mission, and when the Jewish people, the families, came out of Egypt, he says, it's not only a nice thing for you to do, but we're going to sign a contract. Mount Sinai was the marriage. The Torah was the ketubah. The Torah was the marriage document. To say throughout generations, we have to always stay true to these values of leading lives that are significant in terms of our identity and also try to be role models for the world. And then the Jewish nation gets this mission, which is driven by the Torah. And God says, if you really want to have an influence, there's one place where you need to be in order to have the greatest influence. And from that place, you're going to emanate this message to the world. And that place is
Jerusalem,
the land of Israel.
Are you coming back?
One of my mentors once explained it to me. Anyone here familiar with like prospectus, IPOs? You know what IPOs are?
Yes.
Initial public offering. You want to go public with a company. So this rabbi said to me, think about the Jewish people as a new entity and enterprise. The Torah is the prospectus. It's the roadmap. And Israel is the place where God wanted them to go public. In the land of Israel is where you're going to go public, and this is going to be your message. And that ultimately will come out of the Jewish people went to the land of Israel. You're familiar with Joshua? Heard of Joshua? Right? Saul, King David, great warrior, great spiritual philosopher. And then he says to his son, Solomon, I want you to build, and God says, the first temple in Jerusalem. And for 400 years, there's a temple in Jerusalem from which this message goes out to Israel and ultimately goes out to the world. What happens is, and this is about 2,000, maybe around 3,000 years, over almost 4,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago, the Jewish people are attacked. You have the split of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, and the 10 tribes are lost, because the king of Assyria took them and moved them outside of the land of Israel. You have a group that's still left there. You've heard of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of the Babylonians. He comes, he destroys the temple. The saddest day on the Jewish calendar, that is what? Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, and the Jewish people are exiled.
586.
Right, because why were we exiled? Because we weren't carrying our mission. It says the temple was destroyed because God says, I'm going to watch over you and protect you if you remember who you are. But if you're not going to remember who you are, and you're killing each other, and you're having illicit relationships and idolatrous practices, I'm going to send you out of the land of Israel.
Right. The departing words of Moses.
What was that?
The departing
words. Yeah, that's the right word of Moses. It says, God will watch over you if ahayayim shamoat tishmuah mitzvotai. If you keep my mitzvot, if you understand who you are, then I will watch over you. But if not, you're going to need a reminder, a kick in the pants a little bit, right? To understand who you are and what you're all about. And don't get so full of yourself that you think you can just, you know, lead an immoral life in the land of Israel. So then, when the Jewish people are outside of Israel, is when the Babylonians are conquered and the ones that take over are the Persians. That's where Achashverosh comes in. The story of Purim takes place in between the destruction of the first temple. And what does Haman say? And Achashverosh? They want to annihilate the Jewish people. And we celebrate the victory, which we'll talk about soon a little bit in light of Hanukkah. Who's the hero and the heroine?
Esther and Mordechai.
Exactly. And we celebrate that victory over Haman and Achashverosh on the holiday of Purim. Now, a great Persian king comes along after that. His name is Cyrus, Darius. You heard of those guys? And they say the Jewish people can go back into the land of Israel. And that's about 2,500 years ago. They go back in. What's interesting is a lot of Jews don't even want to go back. Even Ezra, the scribe, and says, you guys can go back. You can go back. Remember, they're crying on the waters of Babylon, and they get so used to being in the diaspora, they don't want to go back. But there's a number of Jews that go back, and they finally rebuild the second temple. The second temple is rebuilt. And then that's where the Hanukkah story comes in. The Hanukkah story takes place around 2,100 years ago. Before the Common Era, it takes place about a couple hundred years, like 186 BCE, before the Common Era. And there are Greeks that are there. And you know what happens. So the Greeks are in control of the area. And tell me quickly, what do the Greeks want to do?
Hellenize everybody.
They want to Hellenize the Jews. And they basically say to the Jews the following. This is the main story of what Hanukkah is about. What do the Greeks say to the Jewish people?
Convert.
convert or what?
They didn't make them convert.
They didn't make them convert.
They made them give up Torah study and the temple.
Well, they said to them, we don't care if you live.
Give our God. You have to look at our God.
Yeah. We don't care if you live. We just want you to abandon your Torah. No Torah study or what? We will kill you. No Shabbat or we will kill you. No circumcision or we will kill you. No kashrut or we will kill you. And there was a battle that took place, and the Greeks were imperialists. They wanted their influence within the land of Israel. And ultimately, what happens during that period of time? Were there Jews, by the way, that became Hellenized, that said, you know what? We'd rather live in peace with the Greeks and abandon the Judaism.
Yes.
There were a lot of them.
But not Bar Kokhba.
Well, Bar Kokhba, by the way, was later.
It was 300 years later.
Who are the heroes of Hanukkah? The heroes of Hanukkah are the Maccabees. Who are the Maccabees, by the way? Anyone know what Maccabee stands for? Where does that name come from?
Hammer.
I know it doesn't yet. Yeah, that's not really what it means. But that's okay. What does the word Maccabee mean?
It's a group of people.
Right, but what's the etymology of their name? So it actually comes from, I'm going to sing something. You tell me ready? Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem, mi kamocha. Now what does that mean? Mi kamocha. Mi means what?
Who?
Kamocha is like you. Mi kamocha ba'elim of the gods, Hashem. Who is like you, God? Does anyone know who was the first one that actually said that statement? Mi kamocha ba'elim Hashem. Another great group of Jewish heroes. The Maccabees were not the first. They're called the Maccabees because they stood out in this moment of crisis to say, you know what? We are not going to take what the Greeks want to do. We are going to fight for our God. We're going to fight for our religious freedom. The first ones to do that were actually the Levites. Moses said at the time of the golden calf, he said, who is on God's side? There were Jews that were worshiping the golden calf. And the Levites said, We're not going to forget who God is. The Maccabees got their name because they represented the courage of the Jewish people, certain group, to fight back against the mighty Greek army. The Greeks, by the way, who was the head of the Greeks at the time? You mentioned the name?
Antiochus. Epiphanes.
Yeah, Antiochus Epiphanes. And they thought, we're going to be able to quell this Jewish rebellion. But the Jewish spiritual leaders, it was a family, by the way. Who was the head of the family?
Matityahu.
Judah Maccabee. There was Yochanan.
No, the father was Matityahu.
The father was Matityahu. And they fought back. There was actually a great woman heroine who fought back as well.
Judith.
Does anyone know what she did, by the way?
She cut off the head.
That's right. The kids love that. She cut off the head.
She was in the head of Holland.
Yeah, Don, do you know, by the way, what women were forced to do during that period of time?
Become concubine?
Well, no. Any woman, and this is what was going to get married, before she went to the chuppah, she would have to sleep with one of the Greek generals.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
That's what they had to do. That was the kind of cruelty. That's what they had to do. Yeah. And Yehudi obviously stood up against this, and she...
She got him drunk.
She got him drunk, and she knocked off his head. The battle, by the way, and here's where we're going to get this kind of a deep point. The battle was an amazing battle. We actually reflect on this a little bit. It was the small against the mighty. And these were, again, it was a tremendous miracle that took place, the battle. But here's what they want to talk about. If you look in the Talmud itself, and you look in the oral tradition, and you look at a lot of the traditions that are surrounding about Hanukkah, what are the two major miracles of the holiday of Hanukkah that we celebrate?
The oil
and the battle. The oil and the battle. Oh, now we can start the program.
So what, have you already started?
We started already. As soon as I walked in the door, they said I was 2 minutes behind.
Hey, wait,
but I'm good. So the question is, I'm going to hand something out to you. I want you to look at this. We're going to do a little study together. Here we go. Take some sheets. If I gave you these sheets right away, you'd be looking at the sheets. So take the sheets, pass these out. Don't pass out. Here you go. Take those. Do you have? Oh, this is just for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's got your name on it.
Thank you.
Okay.
The recipe is on the back.
What? So, I have some, don't look at the back yet. The back is a bonus for you. Look at the front.
You had to say
just
that.
Because you said that.
I know. I mean, you know what? It's like so typical. Like, I didn't even think of it. You tell them not to look, they look. All right, so. What was that?
It's Adam and Easter.
It's an Adam and Easter. Forbidden sheets are better. I'm going to make a blessing first, then we'll start. Just remember, answer amen to my blessing. Here we go. Anyone know what I'm eating? What is this? No, this is not honeydew. What blessing? Egg salad. What blessing do you make over egg salad?
No.
It's eggs. What blessing do you make over eggs? You make shahakol niyabidvaro. Blessed is God, shahakol, that everything is created through his word. So I make the blessing, but it's even more powerful when people answer amen, which means you affirm. That's how we bring God into the room. So here we go. I'm going to make the blessing, and I want to hear a big amen from everybody here. Nobody is exempt from this amen. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam shahakol niyabidvaro.
Amen.
It makes it taste better. When there's more amens in the room, it definitely tastes better, that's for sure. So, clearly there was a physical, there was a battle that took place. But the other miracle that we speak about is the miracle of the oil. What's curious is that when you look actually in the literature about Hanukkah, the battle, bless you, is very, very marginalized. And the lights and that miracle is what's prominent. Now I'm going to read something with you. This is from the Talmud, so stay with me here, okay? I'm going to read it in Hebrew. You can follow along in English. Here you go. The Gemara says, the Gemara, by the way, is the oral law, which is committed to writing. This is a tractate. Anyone familiar with the word tractate when I say the word tractate? So tractate, of course, are the different volumes of the Talmud. Is there a tractate, bless you, called the Tractate of Shabbat? There is. There's a tractate called Rosh Hashanah. There's a tractate called Sukkot. There's even a tractate called Megillah, which is what about what holiday? Purim. Purim. There is no tractate called Hanukkah. If you want to learn about Hanukkah, you've got to look into the tractate of Shabbat. Can anyone tell me why? What's the connection between Shabbat and Hanukkah? Why would the holiday of Hanukkah be discussed in the tractate of Shabbat? Very good. The chapter, in this chapter of Shabbat, it talks about how do you light Shabbat candles. So in the conversation about Shabbat candles, I said, well, we're talking about Shabbat candles. Let's talk about Hanukkah candles. That's how the whole thing comes about. So here we go. The Gemara says, my Hanukkah. What is the story with this holiday Hanukkah? What's it about? The Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learn. I'm in the Hebrew three lines in. B'chaf hei b'kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, Yumi de Hanukkah timnei inon. There were 8 days of Hanukkah. Delo lispod behun. You're not allowed to have eulogies, by the way, during those 8 days. If there's a funeral during Hanukkah, the eulogies should be minimized because it's a joyous period of time. Delo lihis anus behun. You're not allowed to fast on Hanukkah because they're days of celebration. Why? Geshenichnisu yevanim leheichal. When the Greeks enter the temple, Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal, right? One of the things we didn't even talk about is what did the Greeks do to spread the Hellenism?
They defiled
the temple. And they went and they put their idols in there. And they destroyed and they corrupted the temple. Ukshagavro malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum, when the Chasmonean dynasty prevailed against them and defeated them, badku v'lo matzu elapach echad shel shemen, shahayimunach b'chotmo shakoyin gadol. They found one jug of oil, you familiar with this, of course?
Yes.
And on that one jug of oil that they knew remained pure had on it what?
The seal
of the Kohen Gadol. What did they want the oil for? What were they going to use the oil for?
The menorah.
Light the menorah. Part of the service was to have the menorah lit every day. And they couldn't light it with oil that was impure. V'lo hayabo elahalik yom achad. They only had enough oil to last for
one day.
Nasibo nes, there was a miracle. V'hidlikum imenu shmona yamim. And it lasted for
8 days.
L'shana acheret, the next year. Kavum v'asum yamim tovim b'halavada. They made a holiday for 8 days and days of celebration. So the Talmud here says, when it talks about what's the reason why we have Hanukkah, it gives very short shrift to this whole amazing military victory that took place. The only words that it says is Ukashigavra Malchu Bechashmonaim, when the Chashmonaim prevailed. But it doesn't talk about, again, this was a huge military victory against the mighty empire of the Greek army. It focuses all on the holiday of Hanukkah, on the lighting of the candles. Furthermore, if you look in the Rambam, turn the page, look in Maimonides, in his laws of Hanukkah, he again gives a little bit of the background. He says, read this in the English here, if you look on the left. In the era of the Second Temple, the Greek kingdom issued decrees against the Jewish people, attempting to nullify their faith and refusing to allow them to observe the Torah and its commandments. They extended their hands against their property and their daughters. They entered the sanctuary. They wrought havoc within and made the sacraments impure.